You can open your Bibles this morning to Proverbs 4. Like the weeks previous, we're going to be jumping around a little bit. This is a study throughout the Proverbs, but we're going to start in Proverbs 4, so you can start there. We are, if you're visiting with us, going through a series on themes of the Proverbs. And so we're not necessarily going verse by verse, but we're taking big truths in the Proverbs and teaching on what the Bible says about those things all the way through, or what Proverbs says all the way through. And this morning, we're actually in a two-part mini-series, so to speak. We're in the second part of a two-part mini-series, wrapping it up. And what we're talking about this morning is the subject of teachability. And the subject of teachability, the word teach, to be teachable, it's not in the Bible, but we give that term to the idea of receiving counsel. How do you receive counsel from God and from other people? How do you receive, in the words of Proverbs, wisdom from God and other people? And you remember that we're studying Proverbs, and wisdom can be defined as skill for living. So here's the question. How do you receive instruction on how to live life skillfully from God and from other people? And so last week we looked at the fool and how the fool receives, or better yet, doesn't receive advice or counsel from other people. And this morning we're looking at the wise person. How does the wise person receive counsel, and what benefits come along with receiving counsel wisely? And remember that we talked last week about the five questions that you must understand if you're going to be teachable. And I'll go through those. The questions we asked last week were this. You need to ask, who are we to receive counsel from? And we said that you're to receive counsel from God, and secondly, other wise people. And the Proverbs are full of calls to you to listen to your parents and calls to you to listen to other wise men and women. So where do you receive counsel from? God and other wise men and women. And he's using them to bring about his truth. So that's who we receive counsel from. The second question we ask that you must know in order to be teachable is, what is the foolish response to counsel, or what are the foolish responses to counsel, better yet? And I gave you four of those. And just as a reminder, what are the foolish responses to counsel? First, fools despise counsel. They despise counsel. And if you want to get more explanation on these, you can go online and listen to last week's message. Secondly, fools are wise in their own eyes. In other words, they don't need counsel. They think that the way they think about every single situation is the way that it should be. The way they think about where they're going to go to college in a couple years is what's right, and they don't listen to any counsel. The way they think about what job they're going to do, or the way they think about whatever it may be, is always right in their own eyes. That's a foolish way to live life. You need counsel from other people. Fools also, fourthly, isolate themselves. Proverbs 18:1 will tell you about that. 18:1 and 2. Fools isolate themselves. Not always physically, although sometimes that happens. They don't let anyone speak into their life. But even in their response to counsel, when someone tries to help them or encourage them or give them advice or counsel, they isolate themselves. They don't have any disciples in their life. They don't listen to their parents. That's a foolish person. Fourthly, what's another response to counsel, another foolish response? Fools pursue folly instead. Remember I said this, you are not neutral when it comes to receiving counsel. You're not neutral saying, okay, do I want what the world says about this activity, or do I want what my parents or other godly men and women say about this activity? I think I'll stand in the middle and decide which one I want to follow. You don't do that. If you are not receiving wise counsel, you are receiving foolish counsel, because you're being influenced all the time with what your heart's telling you, and your heart by nature is corrupt, and you're receiving counsel all the time with what the world's telling you through any sort of medium that it can bring to you, visually, your ears, everything. So the fool pursues folly instead of counsel. There's no neutral ground. And then the third question we asked last week was, what are the consequences foolishly receiving counsel? What are the consequences of refusing counsel? Four consequences. Fools will have a harder life. They just will, because they don't listen to people who have been there before and done the thing that they're trying to do. They don't listen to people's warnings. They don't listen. Therefore, in the providence of God, they are to reap what they sow. And that sometimes is very, very difficult. If you do not listen to counsel, your life will be harder. Mark my words. Listen to godly counsel, that is. Secondly, fools will prove to be stupid. And that's not my word. That's the translation in the scripture. Fools will prove to be stupid. If you don't listen to counsel, the Bible calls you stupid. Third, fools will cause harm to themselves. Fools will cause harm to themselves. You may cost yourself money, time, physical pain, emotional pain, because you have not listened to other people's warnings. You have not listened to other people's advice. You have not listened to what God has said about certain areas of your life, purity, work, whatever it may be. And fourthly, what's another consequence of refusing counsel? Fools will not be heard by God. Someone walking in foolishness and not listening to what God has to say and not listening to what other people have to say who are representing God's truth don't get heard by God. You don't get to say, I don't care what God says. I'm going my own way. And then when you're in trouble, you say, God, give me some wisdom here. The Proverbs say that he doesn't hear your prayers. You must first repent, acknowledge his lordship over your life, acknowledge that you need to listen to him as your entire way of living. And those are the prayers that he answers. So that was last week. If you want more explanation on those things, you can get that message online. But this morning, we're going to look at what are the wise responses to counsel? So two more questions in the list of five that we need to ask in order to be wise young men and women. How are we to receive counsel? These two questions we must know the answers to. First, or fourth in the series, what is the wise response to counsel? And you see that on the board there, on the screen there, and know that I've got three subpoints underneath that, okay? And you're not going to see them on the board, but you can follow along. What is the wise response to counsel? The first wise response to counsel is that wise people acquire counsel. That seems really obvious, but it has to be explained. So Proverbs 4, you're already there. Proverbs 4, let's listen to Proverbs 4, 1 through 9. Solomon writes, "Hear, O sons," and by the way, that's for you ladies as well. "Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, David, tender, the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live." So Solomon's saying, when I was a kid, I listened to King David, my father, say, please listen to me, Solomon. And now Solomon is saying to his son, Rehoboam, and to all of us, please listen to what I'm saying. Verse 5. What does David, what does Solomon, what does God want you and I to hear? Verse 5. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. There are exclamation marks in your Bible after those commands. Do them. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is, here we go. If you want to be wise, here's where it all starts. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. That seems kind of funny when he says it that way, but he's making a point. This seems obvious, but you cannot pass over this. You must be a searcher, a seeker, a diligent obtainer, and acquirer of wisdom. Young people, you have to figure out how to live by God and by wise people that he's put in your life. You have to, is what Solomon's saying and David's saying, and ultimately what God is saying, because this is his word. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. He's speaking of wisdom. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. That statement intrigued me when I was studying this week. The first thing you must know to acquire wisdom is, it's almost like you're on the edge of your seat. Okay, what is it? I want to be wise. What's the first thing I need to know? And this says, acquire wisdom. Well, I Googled the first thing you must know about, and just saw what came up in all different areas of life. And I found a few examples. If you want to start a window cleaning business, here is the first thing you need to know. Listening to this? Little entrepreneurs, are you listening? The first thing you must know about starting a window cleaning business is to know how to clean windows effectively. Okay? Write that down, seal it away. If you're looking for a career in the future, you need to know that. If you're going to clean windows and open your own cleaning business, you need to know how to clean windows effectively. Another first thing you need to know. If you want to perform a surfing aerial, I have no idea what that means, but I figure it's getting air when you surf. See Emily Taylor. If you want to perform a surfing aerial, the first thing you must know, according to the internet, is that getting air is the key to performing an aerial. Or, I'm sorry, getting speed is the key to performing an aerial. So you actually have to be moving if you're going to launch off into the air. That's the first thing you need to know if you want to perform that wonderfully amazing feat. Another one. The first thing that you precious young people need to know about fire extinguishers, the first thing you need to know is that they are meant for very, very small fires. Okay? If your house is going up, do not bring that little can nearby. That's the first thing you need to know about fire extinguishers. Now, why do I say those things? Are those things obvious? The first thing you need to know about starting a window cleaning business is, and you're sitting there going, what is it? Tell me what it is. You need to know how to clean windows well. Okay, now give me the good stuff. No. You can't pass that up. You can't pass that up. Because if you want to start a window cleaning business and you don't care about how clean you clean your windows, then your business is going to go in the tank. If you try to perform a surfing aerial, you need to know that you need to get speed. If you try to put out a huge fire with a fire extinguisher, you need to know that's not going to work. So this is almost like something you would read and gloss over. So when we come here on Sunday morning, I say, we're going to talk about teachability and receiving wisdom. Do you all want to be wise in how you live this life? You're all saying yes. And I'm telling you the first thing you need to know. And you're saying, okay, what is it? I want to be wise. I want to do this life thing well. The first thing is get wisdom. I'm not even going to write that down. Tell me the next thing. Tell me the good stuff. No. There is no more good stuff if you don't seek wisdom. Acquire wisdom. That's the first thing that wise people do. Proverbs 18:15. The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge. The ear of the wise seeks knowledge. So here's the deal. Do you know what a wise person does? A wise person asks people questions about how they are to live. You know what? You have wise people all around you. Many of your parents are wise. You've got wise leaders in this room. You've got elders around you. You've got people that are wise. And do you know what I know about all those people? They don't assume that they've got this life thing figured out. They ask one another for help. People who you look up to and you're like, I want to be like that guy or that lady someday. They've got it all together. My small group leader, look at their life. They live for the glory of God and they just do it the right way. Do you know what one major characteristic of their life is? They ask people for help. They seek knowledge on how to parent, on how to serve in the church, on how to manage their money. That's the way they live. They don't think they're the expert in every single situation. They ask for help. You know what that's called? Humility. The first thing you must do if you want to receive any wisdom and live any life like theirs is to actually seek other people out and ask them questions. Small group leaders, parents, wise men and women God's placed in your life, even wiser peers, godly people who you're friends with, who you know follow the Lord. Ask them how they follow the Lord. Ask them how they do things. Seek counsel. A second example of what a wise person does is the wise love reproof. The wise person loves reproof. Proverbs 9:8. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Do you know what the word reproof means? It means correct. So here's the deal. If I came up to you today after this message and said, my friend, I've got a correction for you. This area of your life is wrong. You're thinking about it wrongly. I need to correct you. And after I say what I say, what's your response to me? You don't know me. Okay? Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. That's true. Do you know what a wise person does? They say, thank you for telling me that. I need to hear criticism. I need to hear that I'm not perfect all the time. I need to hear that so that I can, by God's grace and with his power, with a renewed mind, pursue living rightly. I need help. That's what wise people do. That's how they live. When your mom and dad are teaching you to drive, and they're telling you what to do, and you're getting annoyed with them, and you say things like, I know, take the parking brake off, I know, put your blinker on, I know. Well, do you know why they're telling you that? Because you don't know. Because you've never driven a car for 39 years like they have. So, shut it, listen, and trust that what they're telling you is going to help you. Because you don't know everything, my friend. And when they reprove you, listen to them. And hey, I was a kid. I get it. When your mom and dad start talking and reproving you, correcting you, adjusting your thinking, and you, when dad or mom get into lecture mode, instantly tune them out, you're making a huge mistake. I'm not saying they always come about it the right way. I'm not saying sometimes maybe they're not speaking out of anger. But here's the deal. You still need to listen to the truth that's being said. You know what that's called? Wisdom. That's wisdom. Listen to them. They've lived this thing called life longer than you have. Listen to what they're saying. Listen to what God is telling you. When you read in your Bible something that gets at you and you think, ooh, I am living totally contrary to what the Lord wants. Here's what you don't do. I'm done. That's foolish. You will pay for laying your Bible aside, I promise you. In this life or in eternity or both. Do not do that. Love reproof. When you read something and you're stung and you think, oh man, I am failing in this area, that's good. Love the Lord for telling you that and giving you direction. A wise person loves reproof. Thirdly, the wise receive reproof. So it's not just that you love it, but you actually receive it. And here's the deal. When we talk about what is the wise response to counsel, and the first example I gave you was that the wise acquire counsel, that's the idea of they go out and they find it. I need help on how to be a better student. I need help on how to honor the Lord in this area of my life. I need help in this, in that, in this, in that. You go out and you find it. You read books, you read your Bible, you talk to experts, you talk to your parents, you go out and you find it. This one, the third one, is different. The wise receive reproof. This is when you're not expecting to have any counsel or reproof or advice come at you, but it does. The wise person didn't wake up expecting that someone would come at them and give them a strong rebuke that day. And someone did. And what did they do in the moment? They didn't get defensive. They didn't say, don't judge me. They didn't say, well, you do this and you do that. They didn't do that. They received it. They took the rebuke like a man, like a woman of God. That's what they did. That's what wise people do. Proverbs 10:8. The wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be ruined. I want you to be wise in heart. And how do I know that you are wise in heart? It's because you receive commands. When someone says, do this and do that, you don't say, I know, or you don't say no, or you don't argue about it. You receive the command. You listen to what they're saying. That shows that you are growing in wisdom when you live that way. And so many of you do this. And I pray that so many more of you would do this, and so many of you that currently do this would even do this better. Be teachable. Let people help you with your life, please. That's how God's designed it to happen. Matthew Henry says this about the fool. So it says, the wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be ruined. He says, and this is their wisdom. Those that are wise in heart who are teachable, and those who thus bend and stoop shall stand and be established. What he's saying there is, if you are wise, you are a person that bends down to hear what people are saying. Or you stoop to get advice or to read God's word. You're moving your body to position it to where you can get help. That's what he's saying. Saying the person that does that will be established. You will be firm. You will be solid. And he says, the shame and ruin of the disobedient, on the other hand, is that they will not be governed. They will not endure any yoke. They will not be taught. They will not take advice. They are fools, for they act against themselves and their own interest. They are commonly prating fools, fools of lips, full of talk, but full of nonsense, boasting of themselves, prating spitefully against those that admonish them. He's saying, when you don't listen to parents, to small group leaders, to pastors, to elders, to wise people, ultimately to God, when you don't do that, you talk a lot about what you think is right, and how you think you should live this life, and how other people should live this life, and you know what it's called? It's called foolish talk. And it's called talking like a babbling fool. That's what it says. But wise people, they receive instruction. They take it. They listen to what people have to say. That's wisdom. That's how you want to live. And the Lord will bless that type of living, I promise you. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. The final question we must know the answer to if we are to be teachable is this. What are the benefits of pursuing counsel? Okay, so we've looked at who are we to receive counsel from, what is the foolish response to counsel, what are the consequences of refusing counsel, and what is the wise response to counsel? Now, finally, what are the benefits of pursuing counsel or wisdom or instruction or advice, whatever term you want there? Four main benefits, okay? So under point number five, four main benefits. First of all, the wise obtain wisdom. Is that obvious or not? The wise obtain wisdom. Proverbs 19:20-21. Listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. Here's the deal. People that you know and respect as godly men and women do not think that their capacity or that their wisdom tank is full. They never think that. They never think, okay, I know. You know what, I've lived a long life and I've got counsel and I'm walking with the Lord and I've got help as a parent, help as a husband and wife, and help as a friend. I've got it. I've listened to John MacArthur's teaching for 43 years. I've got it. I've got nothing else to learn. Wise people never think that way. They always think they have more to learn by experience from other people, from God's word. They always think they have more to learn. Wise people gain in wisdom all the time. They just get wiser and wiser and wiser. And fools just become more foolish and more foolish and more foolish. So what's a benefit of being wise? You increasingly get more wisdom. Secondly, another benefit of pursuing counsel, the wise are on the path of life. Proverbs 28:26, the wise are on the path of life. 28:26 says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. And here's the deal. That term delivered is salvation talk. This is a salvation call. Here's the deal. If you are going to be wise and listen to God's word and other people's godly advice, you must ultimately have a path of life that is honoring to the Lord. You must be on that path of being guided by him. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Being teachable should be the characteristic of every single believer. When I meet a believer who is hard to teach repeatedly, it gets me scratching my head. Because ultimately, a believer is teachable. Because here's the deal. There was a moment, there was their whole life before they came to Christ was inherently unteachable, right? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When you are an unbeliever, what you want is your own way all the time. Your own success, your own plans, your own future, your own goals, your own morality, your own way. And when you are converted, when you repent of your sin and turn to Christ, and when you acknowledge before God, I am sinful, that is the most teachable that you've ever been to that point. Because you are saying, I have not listened to your word. I have not listened to parents or evangelists or people bringing me the gospel. I have not listened to it my whole entire life. But right now, I'm believing that I need to follow the one who said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm believing God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son that I need to learn from you. So when you become converted, that is the most teachable to that point in your life that you've ever been. And Proverbs says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. That's salvation talk. When the pattern of your life is to listen to your Lord who governs your life and who you acknowledge governs your life, you will be delivered in this life and in eternity. You will receive heaven, not hell. You will receive eternal joy and not eternal torment. The wise are on the path of life. So when you respond to the gospel as a Christian, that is the most teachable that you have ever been to that point. And here's the deal. What should characterize your life after that? A lack of teachability? So you're saying with your entire life before that, I want my own way. I don't want to obey the Bible. I don't like what it says. I'm choosing my own morality. I'm going to do this with guys and girls sexually. I'm going to do this for a living. I don't care what anyone says. That's what I want. That's what I'm doing. And then when you're converted, you see that Christ willingly will forgive all of that stupidity and give you his perfect life. That's what he'll do. When you're converted, you see how wonderful he is and how patient he's been with you and how much he loves you when you only loved yourself and hated him. When you're converted, that's what happens. And then you say, you died and rose again to give me power, not only to give me a new life and a new risen body one day, but to give me power over my sin. If you can defeat sin and death, then I can live a holy life. God, I need to learn from you. I'm telling you, I'm teachable now. So you've lived that old life. Now you're teachable. Now how do you live the rest of your life? As God tells you what to do, you're like, no, I got it. I'm saved. I'm good. I don't need any more help here. Or as a godly man and woman comes into your life that God's placed into your life, you say, oh, thanks, small group leader. I know you're concerned about this or that, but I think you're just trying to be hard on me. I'm not going to listen to that. That's not characteristic of how you came to Christ. You came teachable, bowing down, head to the ground. I deserve help. Please have mercy on me. I need to learn from you. You give me your church who has leaders and shepherds to teach me, to instruct me on how to live life. You give me the Proverbs. You give me ways to learn. I need to learn from you. Hey, you need to think about how you're living your life this way. I don't want to hear what you're saying. That's not characteristic of a believer. To be unteachable should not be characteristic of a believer. You need to listen and to learn. And wise people are on the path of life. They're in the path of life because they've been saved, and they're on the path of life because now they've got skill for living and other people help them live life, and they're off to the races. And when time is hard, when difficulty comes, they know how to respond rightly to honor the Lord, and they have a smile on their face and in their heart the whole time. And when they ultimately die, they're in the presence of the Lord, it only gets better. If you are teachable, you're on the path of life. That's where you want to be living. The wise person gets that and understands that. Proverbs 19:8, another verse for you. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. If you will listen to people who are wise, if you will listen to God's word, you are in that moment loving your own soul. On the contrary, if you do not listen to people, if you do not listen to authority, if you do not listen to God himself ultimately, you may think that you are happy and don't have any restraints on you, but you are hating your own soul in that moment. Third, the third example or the third benefit of being teachable or receiving counsel wisely is that the wise gain victory. The wise gain victory. Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Please do not try to make plans about your life by yourself. Because when there is no guidance, the people fall. But listen to this. If you will let other people help you with your plans, namely your parents and your God, if you will let them help you with your plans, there is victory in an abundance of counselors. That's what God himself is telling you and I today. That's how wise people live. That's where they are. They receive counsel. They understand that I've got a decision to make. What do I need to do? I need to see what God says, and I need to see what other godly men and women say. That's the way they live their life. They get concerned when they make their own decisions and people aren't involved. They're concerned about that because they know this verse, where there is no guidance, the people fall. Now, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, why do the dear students in 180, and why do people I know not go about getting counsel for decisions they make? Why? And the reason is, I'm convinced, is because you don't think there are consequences to going your own way. You think that you can make your decision, you could determine what you want to do, and you'll be consequence-free. And you think of your life as walking down Main Street USA in Disneyland, right? Nothing bad is going to happen. You're going to walk in. I'm going to go through high school. I'm going to walk in and grab a caramel apple. And then I'm going to go in and grab a $90 sweatshirt. And it's going to have a mouse on it. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be wonderful. Disneyland, I don't need anybody's counsel. That's the way my life is going to be. Abraham Lincoln's going to welcome me into a movie theater. I mean, it's going to be wonderful. And then at the end, I'm going to get to a castle and I will be a princess. And for you guys, you think, I'm going to go and bring the princess to the castle. That's what you think. Do you know why people pay $5,000 to go to Disneyland? Because that's not reality. And they like the Saturday afternoon when nothing's wrong. And you know what? That's why you don't follow counsel. Because you don't think anything bad will happen. You think that you can go your own way and, you know, chipmunks will come out and shake your hand and smile at you. You think it'll always be good. But here's the deal. Life is better. A better metaphor, a better word picture would be like climbing Half Dome. I've never done it. I'm afraid of heights. That's why I'm not on the stage right now. A better example is climbing Half Dome. And I've had friends that have done it. And one friend told me that you need, first of all, they have like a rope that sometimes you grab and walk. How many of you have done this, right? There's a rope, right? Yeah, like you guys are all outdoor. There's a rope that sometimes you hold on to. Guess what? You need help. You need people to tell you what to look out for. There are times of year where not only is it closed, but there are times of year where it's not closed yet, but it's still risky because of the weather. And I've had friends who have almost had bad things happen because they didn't heed the warning of other people. That's more what life is like. It's hard. You need experts telling you what it's like. You need wisdom. You need equipment. You need help because bad things can happen. You can eternally perish or you can get severely hurt and wounded. You need to listen and be helped by other people, because life is not like Disneyland. Life is difficult and life is hard, and you will make poor decisions if you don't have other people helping you. I am begging you, see, not God doesn't just do this. God doesn't give a bunch of passages in the Proverbs saying, the fool doesn't receive counsel. Don't be the fool. That's it. Close your Bible. I'm done. He gives another side of it. He says, no, the wise get more wisdom. The wise are on the path of life. The wise will have success in their life and ultimately in eternity. He's trying to entice you to get wisdom. God is trying to show you there is benefit in this earth, on this earth, and in the future to living your life humbly and asking people for help. God is saying, I will bless you with these things if you live that way. What a gracious God we serve to give that to us. He could just be the grumpy God who says, fools do it that way, don't do it that way. He doesn't do that. He tries to entice you with reward and blessing. You want to follow his way. You want to go his way. You want to go the way of wisdom and not the way of the foolish. So as you make decisions in your life, seek counsel. When counsel comes to you that you didn't expect on an area of your life, receive it. You'll be benefited and blessed and rewarded for that. A fourth example of, or a fourth benefit, the wise are honored. Proverbs 13, 18, the wise are honored. Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who regards reproof will be honored. He who regards reproof will be honored. The more you listen to counsel, the more you will make better decisions. The more you make better decisions, the more you will be honored. And it even, this is the way it looks in the world. The more you work a job with wisdom, or the more you pursue a relationship with wisdom, people will say, that man or that woman did it right. That's what I want to be like. That's how I want to live my life. You'll be honored for that. And you, in turn, will give all the praise and glory to Jesus Christ, because you wouldn't be able to do it without his Holy Spirit, because once you were a rebel and wanted your own way. But you will be honored for that. And that's what the Proverbs are telling you. Ultimately, though, in an eternal sense, when you live as teachable under the Lord, when you let him govern your life, when he is your Lord and you are his slave, when you receive his instruction, receive his care, receive his commands, receive his guidance, when you do that, you will be honored one day. He will honor you in heaven, and that is an amazing thought. It will be as real as you are sitting here. It's not imaginary and mystical. Real life, Jesus Christ will honor real life, fill in your name. Will honor you, and you will shake your head and take off your crown and throw it at his feet and say, I don't deserve it. You deserve it. You got me here, and he will honor you. That's amazing to me. But you know the one who he honors is the one who is humble and contrite and trembles at his word, which implies that you're listening to his word. You need to be listeners, my friends. You'll be honored one day. If in the last 2 weeks you've thought, maybe not told anyone, but maybe you've thought, I'm the fool. I disregard my parents. I disregard small group leaders. I disregard the Bible. I disregard all kinds of authorities in my life. I'm the fool. What do I do? Good question. Or if you're someone who says, no, I think I live my life in the path of wisdom. I do listen to my parents and God's word and small group leaders, and I do listen to them, but there may be an area or two that I can do better in. Here's my advice to both of those groups. First, repent of your foolishness. Repent of your foolishness. Listen to this. Every single person in this room can find some foolishness and some teachability today to repent of. I promise you. Repent of your foolishness. So what you're doing is you're telling God, I have not listened to your word. I have not listened to people you placed in my life who are wise men and women. I have not listened to them. Will you please forgive me? And I want to be one who acquires wisdom. But you need to start. If you want to take application from these 2 weeks and you say, okay, I want to apply this message. I'm going to start acquiring wisdom. No. There's another step before that. Repent. Acknowledge that you haven't. Because when you confess sin, he forgives. So acknowledge that you haven't. Repent of your sin. Secondly, read and receive God's word. Go to the scriptures and be taught by God's word. Third, actually, let me give you a verse for that. Psalm 119:2. How happy are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. If you think, I've been foolish, I don't listen to counsel very much, I'm a young, foolish young man and woman, that's who I am. I'm like most kids my age. I need to repent before the Lord, and I need to understand and pursue God's word. Third, reach to wise people for counsel. These are all ours. Repent of foolishness, read and receive God's word, reach out to wise people for counsel. Proverbs 19:20, listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. Listen to wise men and women. If you don't know of any, come talk to me. I can find some for you. Listen to people who can help you live your life in a godly way for the glory of Jesus Christ. And fourthly, remove yourself from folly. Remove yourself from folly. Proverbs 14:7, leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern words of knowledge. If you are always around foolish people, you won't know when there's wisdom being taught. Some of you don't listen to me on Sunday mornings because you're all throughout the week, you're only around the presence of fools, and you can't even hear wisdom when it's coming. And it's not that it comes from me, it's that it comes from God's word, and you don't recognize it as wisdom. You need to leave or you remove yourself from folly. Nobody, here's the deal, folly does not come up to you and say, listen, live your life impurely before the Lord with the opposite sex. Live it impurely. And if you do, you know, you'll ruin your future marriage. You'll negatively affect it. If you do, you'll create horrible boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. You'll experience much pain in the future, and so will they. Just live your life impurely, and you'll receive all of that. No one does that. Folly doesn't do that to you. Folly says, do this and you'll be happy. Do this, no one will know. Do this and you'll be just fine. You don't need what your parents say. You don't need what your church says. You don't need what God says. Do it this way and you'll be just fine. Some of you, folly screams at you all the time and you listen. Whether it's people actually talking to you or things that you watch or things that you hear, you're just around folly. If you want to grow in wisdom, you need to remove yourself from folly and repent. Folly doesn't overtly show you the consequences of your foolishness. It tries to entice you with pleasure, and then you'll suffer for it. But it doesn't tell you that part. So you need to see folly before you see the consequences down the road. You need to say, ooh, if I do this, it could lead to that, says the Bible, says other people. I'm going to remove myself from that environment. What I'm hoping that some of you, some of your friendships change this week, to be honest with you. I'm hoping that some of your watching and listening choices change this week because you want to grow in wisdom and you want to remove yourself from folly. Here's the deal. I'm convinced the Lord will bless you for that. He says that. Trust him. You'll receive much more than you gave up, I promise you. So, are you teachable? Can you let God, first and foremost, and other people tell you and help you with how to live your life? I've been asking the Lord a lot the last couple weeks to help each and every one of you with that. Honor him by responding rightly to his word. And here's the deal. He doesn't just punish foolish people. He rewards wise people. What a kind God we serve.